This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
I'll say this, if you're on the way to Charlottesville this afternoon, you're leaving Richmond, don't forget, we're on ESPN Radio in Richmond today, noon to 3. They carry the show. Folks can dial us up if they miss any of the live version here on ACC Network. They can get the Packer and Durham Syndicate, noon to 3, leaving Richmond, driving west to Charlottesville today, Pack.
And if you miss that, you're getting a really late start from SiriusXM 84 from 4 to 7. I host off campus, and we will have 1,000 guests and involve every team on the planet Earth. That's what we do on Fridays.
But even better, 30 and 30 closes the Friday show on off campus today.
I give you 30 losers in 30 seconds, a tribute to Leonard's losers and the fact that I make fun of everybody that cares about what their record is in picking games. That's what that is.
How'd you do last week? Oh, that's right. You don't keep the record.
I have no earthly idea. Could not tell you. Couldn't tell you if I was 30-0 or 0-30. And if somebody – I had some guy last year that would call me during the week and go, hey, Pack, you were 26-4 last week. I said, I'll take your word for it, my man. I said, I have no earthly idea.
No idea.
Really don't care.
Have you already picked this week's losers? Have you already picked this week's losers?
No. Not I'll do yet. It. Okay. I'll do it during the break leading into the last segment. That's when I pick
it. Will you? Oh, that's some keen preparation right there.
Well, I mean, I talk about all these games around the country all week. I've done all my prep work. Now I'm going to – and that's why I give it 30 seconds. Boom, boom, boom. Here they are. X, Y, Z, A, B, C. 30 and 30.
All right, here we go. One stat per game. We do this on Fridays, by the way, during the football season on ACC Network. One stat per game, and we're going to start tonight in Charlottesville, 7 o'clock start on ESPN2 with Virginia hosting Wake Forest. Seven different Wake Forest defenders have forced turnovers, including two each from Kalen Carson and Travion Redd. Wake Forest is second in the FBS with 9 forced turnovers.
Well, here's the thing. It's one thing to create the turnover. Wake Forest has to create points off turnovers. They've not done a great job in that department. They're getting the ball west, but they've got to maximize it when they do it. And if they can create that tonight in Charlottesville, believe me, Dave Clawson on the road says, hey, we've got to get sevens out of that deal. Got to score touchdowns off those turnovers.
Totally agree with you. Liberty at Syracuse. It's an 8 o'clock start on ACC Network from the Dome in Central New York. Syracuse freshman running back Sean Tucker leads FBS in scrimmage yards per game, 171.7. And you see he's tied for fourth in scrimmage touchdowns with 7 and has the second most yards after contact, 279 in FBS.
A lot of offensive stars in this game on both sides, but Wes, both defenses are ranked in the top 10, as we pointed out in hour number one. Which defense will do a better job tonight wins the ballgame.
There you go. Missouri, Josh Macri tells me, is playing Boston College. High noon tomorrow at Alumni Stadium. BC leads the country in opposing third down conversion rate. 5 of 32 through 3 games, just 15.6%. Now, that might have something to do with who you've played, Pack.
You think?
But still an impressive stat, yes.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's Missouri coming to town, not UMass. All right, this is a different animal tomorrow in the Heights. Still doesn't mean you can't have success and win the ball game. It'll be fun to watch, as we just pointed out, because that potential being a high-scoring game. But the level of competition goes up tenfold for BC this weekend.
There you go. Also coming up at noon tomorrow, New Hampshire is at Pittsburgh on ACCNX. Pittsburgh is 16-15 following a loss since 2015. It's the fifth best in the ACC in Pat Narduzzi's tenure. Clemson, Virginia Tech, NC State, and Boston College are the teams that are ahead of Pittsburgh in the following a loss category.
Pitt, by the way, 18-1 against the football championship subdivision. I was bold to predict a win last week against Western Michigan. I was dead wrong. I will go out on the limb again and say Pitt wins this weekend. If you lose to New Hampshire, We may have to take all the Pitt stuff out of the room. Just telling you, you lose to New Hampshire, I got a real problem. You cannot lose to New Hampshire.
Wait a second. Wait. You can't take all the Pitt stuff out of the room.
Yeah, I can. If they lose to New Hampshire, I'm taking out the Pitt logo. I'm taking out the cool Pitt helmet and all the other Pitt paraphernalia. You cannot lose to New Hampshire. Please.
Oh, no.
What do you mean, oh, no?
Yeah, I mean, we're not 475 shows in, and now you're telling somebody if they lose, you're going to clear their gear out.
You can't listen. You can't go to Rocky Top and win and lose at home to New Hampshire. Sorry. I can't name one player on New Hampshire's team. I'm not sure I can spot New Hampshire on the map. You can't lose to New Hampshire. Sorry.
I can tell you where the UNH is located.
Great. But I'm just telling you, you can't lose to New Hampshire. Come on. Please.
All right.
Shouldn't be scheduling New Hampshire, much less losing.
Come on, Pitt. Let's go, Pitt. Hail to Pitt. Come on.
Hail to Pitt.
All right. If you feel that strongly about New Hampshire, how would you feel about Central Connecticut State at Miami tomorrow? 12:30 start. Because Miami has scored a touchdown on just 4 of 11 red zone trips. They're 124 in FBS out of 130 in touchdown percentage of red zone.
Wes, I put the green lights on here in the studio in honor of the Canes here wearing all green. That's about all I can give to you for Roast Beef A&M. Next Thursday, Virginia is at the Hard Rock. That is the game that Miami's got to be ready to roll. They'll take care of business against Central Connecticut State. Again, we hope De'Aaron King is going to be good to go for next week. I'm curious to see, though, that the rotation of quarterbacks behind De'Aaron, who will get a ton of experience. But the Canes will roll. They'll tackle somebody this week. But next Thursday, that's really going to be go time for the Canes and the Hoos at the Hard Rock. That's going to be a big game.
Just so I can get some perspective here, if Miami were to lose, what would be their penalty in the basement?
I just load up the back of the Ford F-150 and just throw all the stuff in there. I mean, you can't lose games to Central Connecticut State and New Hampshire. In fact, Central Connecticut State should be playing New Hampshire. That's what should be happening.
I think they probably have. That'd
be fine. Plenty of good seats still available.
All right. Clemson at NC State.
There's a little. That's
there
a football
we go. Okay.
Now we
gotcha.
Get back
okay.
to get this train back on the track. That's a game.
Clemson is averaging 5.6 yards per attempt. That's last in the ACC on offense. NC State allows 5.5 yards per attempt defensively. That's second in the ACC. Clemson leads the ACC in opponent yards at 5.2. We've been saying it all week. If the offenses emerge here, it'll be the biggest stunner because both defenses have played really, really well so far.
No question. Big-time Ds on both sides of the line of scrimmage. And NC State kind of with a do factor here, right? They've lost only 15 in the last 16 and 8 in a row. But NC State has also lost 10 consecutive games against AP top 10 teams. At some point in time, you figure, hey, we got the do factor. Well, NC State has the do factor.
All right, here's one for you. We've got Louisville at Florida State. Louisville has not won an ACC road game since November of 2019 in Raleigh, 34-20.
Well, again, something's got to give in this one, too. We've talked about Florida State 45 years since they've lost three straight home games. That's at stake over the weekend. Also, Louisville's lost six consecutive road games, period. They've not been good away from Cardinal Stadium, even though they're the team playing with momentum tomorrow in Tallahassee.
Yep. All right, next one. You ready?
Been ready.
Kansas at Duke, 4 o'clock here on ACC Network tomorrow. Chris Cotter, Mark Hursley, Jalen Johnson will be there. Kansas has been outscored by 45 points in the second half of its last two games. Ugh.
Surprise it's that low. Have you seen Kansas play, Wes? Just asking.
Yeah, I saw him against Coastal Carolina, and it wasn't good, Pack.
No, it was not good. It was not good. No. It's really hard to believe that they're being investigated by the NCAA with their football program. That's to me, is the most amazing thing in the planet Earth, because they're so bad. And you wonder, how are you guys being investigated when you're that bad? Seriously, I would get it if you were 10-2 and shaking up the Big 12 and you got this going on. All right, I get that. It's a great basketball school. But they are this. If you're Duke, while it's weighed outdoor tomorrow, you should sit there and go, guess what, boys? Today's another day for us to get to 3-1 and then jump in the ACC play in October. Great opportunity for Duke to continue their good play.
That's a 4 o'clock game on ACC Network tomorrow in primetime at 7:30. Roy Philpott, Tim Hasselbeck, Kelsey Riggs will be in downtown Atlanta for mayhem at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, as Georgia Tech is calling it. The Jackets host number 21, North Carolina. Sam Howell is fourth among all players in FBS with 13 runs of 10 or more yards. Pack, Clemson's entire team only has 10 plays of 10 or more yards on the ground.
Puts it in perspective, doesn't it, in terms of what Sam is doing and what Clemson is not. And this is really kind of kicking off a big week of sports in the ATL, right? You got the Tar Heels coming to town. They're ranked. Your Falcons are looking for a W. And then the Braves next week host Philadelphia, who's getting a little bit closer in the NL East. They're within 2 games. It's a 3-game series. So big times in the ATL beginning tomorrow with North Carolina and Georgia Tech.
Yeah, so Sam Howell and the Tar Heels against the Jackets tomorrow night. The ball game here in Blacksburg tomorrow did not make one stat per game. I'll give you one here real quick that Richmond and Virginia Tech meet for the first time, Pack, since the early part of the century. But the last time the Spiders came to Blacksburg, Richmond won the game.
I thought this was their first meeting since 1986. Am I wrong?
86,
about that?
Right. 86 was the last time. That's right. 86. 1986, and the last time it happened, Richmond won the ball game.
Yeah. If they haven't played since 1986. Come on, Wes. 100 years ago. Even though you're high on the Spiders, I know you're high. You were telling me this week that, hey, don't sleep on the Spiders. That's what you kept telling me this week. Virginia Tech.
I think it's one of these games for Virginia Tech where after the tough loss in Morgantown last week, you gotta path it out here. You gotta get back to kind of what you were doing that got you wins against Carolina and Middle Tennessee State. You know how we're talking about teams that gotta bounce back, Pittsburgh being an example after a loss last week. I would say the same here for Virginia Tech tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, no question. I think they'll be good to go. I got confidence that Justin Fuente, there could have been a hangover effect when you beat North Carolina. And here comes Middle Tennessee State. I thought they handled their business that weekend. I think coming off a loss, they'll get even more focused. I expect Virginia Tech to play well tomorrow.
There you go. All right. When we come back, off to Raleigh we'll go. NC State linebacker Drake Thomas will join us. Wolfpack waiting on those Tigers for a 3:30 start tomorrow at Carter Finn.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
On a Friday, weekend fast approaching. We got football games tonight in the ACC, as we pointed out, with Syracuse hosting Liberty. Big one in Charlottesville with Wake Forest in Virginia. And then there's this little tilt tomorrow afternoon in Carter-Finley. You might have heard about it. Clemson and NC State getting together. And Drake Thomas, terrific linebacker, joins us from Raleigh. First of all, Drake, appreciate the time. And, man, I know you guys are fired up for tomorrow, man. This is one of those kind of games that forget the hype. Let's just go hit somebody, right?
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me too. But yeah, we're excited, ready to go for tomorrow.
Drake, this whole deal now, I mean, the way this season's unfolding, I know this game's important, but you're a veteran guy here. Do you have to process this a little bit to say, okay, yeah, we're fired up, we want to play, but do you have to kind of back it down to make sure you don't play it on Wednesday before it kicks on Saturday?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, this is probably the biggest game I've played in since I've been here. For sure. So, I mean, I just try to, you know, stay in my own skin. Don't get, you know, too excited before, you know, Saturday. You just stay myself all week and stay calm until, you know, that ball kicks. Then it's go time.
Well, one of your main guys, Peyton Wilson, goes out with a tough injury, and he's out for the year after what happened at Mississippi State. From that linebacker room, I'm sure that you guys are playing for him. You're playing for yourselves. But with his absence, what's it meant, though, for everybody else in that linebacker room?
I mean, we'd have to Jalen Scott, number two, he's had to step up big time. And, I mean, he's done a good job. He's done a great job, and he's prepared himself for the opportunity. And as far as, you know, me and Isaiah and him, we're all playing for Peyton. We, you know, he plays 100%, 100% of the time. You know, he leaves it all out on the field, and we, you know, we'd be doing him a disservice if we didn't play the same. So, you know, just going out there, going all out for him.
All right, let's I want to cover one of the things here. Even though you're just a sophomore, it feels like you've been there a long time. So take me through kind of the first 3 weeks of this. I mean, beat South Florida, tough loss at Mississippi State, come back, get Furman. How does this work for you guys in terms of the long game, Drake?
We just got to stay consistent. We got to, you know, focus on ourselves each and every week. It doesn't, you know, matter who we're playing. We got to worry about being the best versions of ourselves every single week. And when we come out and we execute and we stay disciplined and, you know, play our game of football, then we can, you know, play with the best of the best. And I think that just doing that every single week, that's what's the most important for us.
Drake, on the national scene, everybody's buzzing about what's wrong with Clemson's offense. You've watched tape of these guys all week. What do you see about the Tigers?
They got playmakers for sure. You know, they got talent all around the field that can make plays. So just because their production up to this point hasn't been what they wanted it to be, doesn't mean they can't, you know, click at any time. So we're going to have to be clicking on all cylinders to stop them tomorrow. So, you know, we're taking an approach like we're playing, you know, any other team. It's just we'll focus on ourselves and executing what we need to.
Hey, Drake, you know what? I just want to follow up real quick, Wes. What you just did right there tells me everything I need to know. You went, is it tomorrow? It could be Tuesday. You've been so dialed in this week. You don't know if it's Tuesday or Friday. It's just like, man, let's open the gates. Let's let loose and go play, right? I mean, I can tell your mind's already like, whenever we play, but just let's go play some football, right?
Yeah, just whenever we play, just put the ball down.
That's it.
Yeah. Hey, this seems like a three-level game, though. And this is one of the reasons I like your football team, because I know you got guys up front. You guys in the middle are always rock solid. And then the secondary's got a lot of guys. And I'll be honest with you, Drake, I think Tyler Baker-Williams, a lot of guys, Tanner, they fly under the radar when it comes to secondary play, not just in the ACC, but nationally too. And this feels like a game where your defense has an opportunity to shine at all three levels.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we got a lot of playmakers in the second half, too, in the back end, our secondary. They played a lot of football. They're comfortable in our defense, and, you know, they know the system, and they go and make plays. So I definitely think it's, you know, an opportunity for everyone to show what they can do.
Drake, it's interesting when you start talking about defensive football in this day and age of college, right? Because everything's been offensive-oriented. We're so used to now seeing everybody spreading the field, first to 40. This game tomorrow, let me emphasize, tomorrow, feels like it could be an old school. I mean, your defense has been out of sight. Clemson's defense has been fantastic. I'm sure you're watching tape going, okay, yeah, they got playmakers, but you know what? We can execute A, B, and C against these guys and make life miserable. The anticipation of an old school rock 'em, sock 'em, 17-14 thing, given the way you guys like to play on the defensive side, it sounds like, man, that would be like the perfect afternoon. Nice and crisp. Places sold out, going nuts. Old school football where defense dictates who's going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Gibson talked about it to us. You know, this game is going to fall on us. And, you know, we want that pressure right to us. You know, we don't want to shy away from it. We want to run right to it. And we got to embrace that. And, you know, so if it's going to fall on us, then we got to do what we need to do to win the game.
Drake, in terms of growing up in the area, and I know you played at Heritage in Wake Forest, and there are a lot of guys. I mean, Gunnar Holmberg's a Heritage guy. You got your brother. You got tons of guys from that program. The NFL guys that coach in that program is just phenomenal. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week with Gunnar. The idea, Drake, of growing up in this area and now playing in a game like this in this area, what does that mean to you?
It means a lot. You got a bunch of people that were able to be a part of, you know, your youth career, you know, the high school career, just all the way up from when I was little, that are still able to follow me and come watch me play and just, you know, support. And it's just means a lot that to have those kind of people be on this journey with me from the start to the finish.
Drake, when we were in Raleigh a couple of weeks ago to start the season before you guys played South Florida, we were doing the show there, and one of the things that Dave Doran talked about is one of the things we want to do every single week we play, we want to be the most physical team on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Now, we know that the offensive line gets these bad boys right here for pancake blocks, right? All right, we know NC State's getting it. So what does Coach give as incentive for the defensive guys? I mean, if the offensive guys are loading up on the pancake blocks and getting the syrup, what are we doing for the defense?
I mean, for the turnovers, we get the turnover bone. And then we each, you know, we go on the sideline, we sign the turnover bone. And then in the team meeting the next day, we get like our own mini turnover bone for every single turnover we get.
That's all right. But I tell you what, I will tell you, no disrespect to the turnover bone, this has more purposes right here. You
yeah, you probably use that for more things.
Yeah, there's no question about that.
Hey, I will tell you that Aleem brought the turnover bone on the set last year when we had him on following his pick six at Virginia. The turnover bone's a little big now. Like, Drake, you can't walk around with the turnover bone, like, carried to class and stuff.
Hey, by the way.
I mean, it's big. You got to, you know, we keep that, I think, on the fourth floor with the coaches during the week. But the ones that they give us to keep are, like, you know, mini ones that you would give to your dog. And we keep it in our lockers.
I was going to say, the original one barely would fit my Ford F-150. Speaking of class, our traditional question with every student athlete, I'm posing this one to you. While you've been at NC State, Drake, what has been your hardest class?
I'd say maybe accounting. Probably accounting. I mean, I'm a business major. That was probably one of my hardest classes. Calculus was a tough one. But probably accounting, honestly, because I took that in season. So, you know, when you're in season taking classes, it's a little bit more difficult to spend, you know, the needed time on the course.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Numbers. Not doing it.
Drake, we gotta get the sharp objects out of the room when Wes starts doing math. So, when you said accounting, I mean, he got the cold clammy feeling instantly with that deal. I know this much: tomorrow afternoon, at 3:30, Carter Finley's going to be rocking. And I know it's been a couple years since you've seen these guys. You didn't play them last year at all, given the COVID schedule and everything else. And what's at stake? It just kind of feels like this is the crossroad. If you're going to get to Charlotte and you're going to play for an ACC championship, you know you got to beat these guys, right? You know you got to beat them.
Yeah. I mean, they are what the standard of the ACC has been the past 6 years, whatever, you know, they've won it in a row. So if you want to win the ACC, you have to beat Clemson. And, you know, we're taking pride in that, and we know that. We know it's at stake. But we also want to just focus on ourselves when we go out there and be the best version of ourselves and not get too caught up in all the hype. You know, when we can show up our best version of ourselves, that's when we're the best, that's when we're playing the best, and that's when we're tough to beat.
Yeah. Hey, Drake, thanks for the time. Good luck tomorrow. We look forward to watching.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me.
Thanks, Drake.
You bet. Drake Thomas of the Wolfpack, outstanding player out of Heritage High in Wake Forest, and appreciate him spending some time with us here this morning on Packer and Durham. Jalen Scott, he mentioned, that's the guy filling the role of Peyton Wilson Pack in the Wolfpack linebacking core.
Yeah, and that's a good group too now. Those dudes can flat out fly around the football. And as Dabo pointed out, when he's watching tape, NC State kind of looks like us, flying around the football, making plays. And two big-time defenses getting after it tomorrow afternoon. And as I said, we talk about the coastal chaos all the time. We've really never had that issue in the Atlantic, especially here in the last 6 years where Clemson's dominated. But you could create chaos in the Atlantic with one game. And it's tomorrow's game with NC State. That's the deal. So Dabo knows what he's got his hands full with that. NC State knows what's coming to town, and that will be a good one.
There we go. You bet. All right, sit tight. When we come back, Adam Terry joins us. We'll talk about Syracuse Liberty tonight with the former Orange offensive lineman. Now their radio analyst with Matt Park. He'll join us on Packer and Durham next.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Don't forget ACC football presented by Dr. Pepper tonight, 8 o'clock. Drew Carter, Bobby Carpenter, Taylor Davis will be at the Dome for Liberty and Syracuse right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. And if you're roaming through the Empire State tonight and you're not around your television or don't have the ability to stream, you can listen to our next guest, Mark. Adam Terry, the radio analyst of the Orange, joins us this morning here on Packer and Durham. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. I'm doing well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because this is going to be quite a test tonight. We keep talking about Liberty's quarterback and what Tucker's doing for Syracuse. But, Adam, hey, we got two teams in the top 10 in total defense getting after each other. I mean, forget these offensive dudes. Let's talk about the defense for a second.
Yeah, defensively, I mean, Syracuse is a different team than it was last year. They were very blessed to have a bunch of seniors come back and take that extra year of eligibility. Kingsley Jonathan, McKinley Williams, Josh Black, Cody Roscoe. Those four guys, coupled with the ability of younger guys to step up into a role, has led to, a very solid defense that now at the point of attack allows linebackers to have potential blockers. When I played with Baltimore for years, it was, you had a guy like Haloti Ngata. They're not as stout as that, but because of the movement, you're going to have the ability for Marlo Wax, Mykel Jones, Stephen Thompson to really create havoc for this Liberty offensive line.
Adam, I wanted to follow up with that because early in the show, I was talking about the benefit of what Dino Babers and Tony White had to go through a year ago just playing so many young guys. Garrett Williams, Jahad Carter, guys like that. I mean, they kind of invested by injury or by opt-out into some young guys in some tough spots last year. And at the end of the day, I think they're reaping some of the benefits on the back end from that now, it looks like.
Yeah, when you look at what occurred last year, Fatu Melanfawu played the whole season, so he was a rock over there, gets drafted in the third round. Andre Sisco going down to Jacksonville in the third round. Trill Williams getting picked up. That was our secondary. Now all of a sudden you saw the emergence of a Garrett Williams, who was a redshirt freshman at the time, and then sprinkled in with a bunch of these young guys. They have really turned that program in the back end around because they had a lot of growing pains last year. And the guy to watch this week is going to be Deuce Chestnut. He does everything right. You know, it's kind of like an offensive lineman where you're talking about it during the game and you don't really mention his name that often. That's what Deuce Chestnut has done in coverage. But then he makes the monotonous things, the easy things look even easier over on that side of the field. So I really like what they've done. Nick Monroe has done a great job. Nick Monroe, the secondary coach, has done a great job in recruiting and been able to plug and play a lot of these young guys. And they took their lumps last year, but they're really starting to work into their own this year.
Adam, do you think someone will take ownership of the quarterback position at some point in time, or is this just going to be a two-headed monster all season long?
I think the ownership's going to lie in the hands of Dino Babers. who has the hot hand? Who's doing what they should be doing? I will say this. The offensive line has improved. They did a shift last week where they took their longtime center and finally put him back in center as Aaron Service. And they really solidified that. So in this game, I think we will get a better idea of who Dino wants to roll with this year. You know, you've got two quarterbacks in a dual system right now that look a little bit different on film. Tommy DeVito, a little bit of the gunslinger. He likes to throw the ball on those verticals. And he's done a very sound job of running the football, good ball control. And then Garrett Schrader is who we thought he was. He's a guy that really wants to run around, make some plays. It may not look pretty all the time, but he adds a dimension when he does the ride and decide the ability to pair him with Sean Tucker is enticing. What it comes down to in my eyes is, what is the identity of the Syracuse offense? What do we want to be? Are we going to be this run team, outside zone, let Sean Tucker pound the rock for 30, 35 carries a game? Or are we going to go deep with the ball and try to dissect them? I think right now it's, who are we and what is the identity of this team going forward is going to dictate who that quarterback is.
Adam, their ability to improvise off what we thought Syracuse was offensively a couple of years ago, I mean, tempo was almost a negative for them a season ago. Now it seems like they're comfortable not trying to go fast, and when they do, they kind of pick and choose spots. Is Tucker responsible for that? Is the ground game success responsible for that? Is it the improvement in the offensive line, things of that nature in your mind?
We'll check all those boxes. I'll pick D, all the above. You know, when you get Sean Tucker rolling, it is a byproduct of having a better offensive line. And then Dino and Sterling Gilbert, the offensive coordinator, really feel Tommy DeVito has a good grasp on what this offense is capable of doing. And it is very easy to turn the ball and hand it off to a 5'10", 210-pound rocket back there, because – Sean Tucker is, as Dino said in his press conference this week, not necessarily a track star, but above football player speed. So he's got the ability to turn on the jets. And when that tempo goes, just as anybody in the country is, when you have somebody on the heels, you got to knock them on their butt. And Syracuse, when they start running tempo, can put people on their heels. And now it's, do they have that killer instinct of can they put people away? Because they still have to score points, and scoring points is going to be paramount, whether it's a defensive struggle, a defensive battle. Whoever puts up the most points on the board is going to win the game. I mean, I know I make football sound very easy on that one, but it's going to be, can Syracuse put up points? And up until the Albany game, they hadn't been able to do it as effectively as we would like.
Adam, last year, and I don't want to go and relive that because it was miserable, but it proves a point to the next question. Last year was so crazy because of COVID, and it was a tough year anyhow for Syracuse. The importance of this game tonight for Dino Babers, because Liberty's a really good club, and Hugh Freeze has done a nice job, and Willis is a Heisman-caliber kind of guy. I mean, he can just do great stuff. Assuming Syracuse wins tonight and goes to 3-1. The importance of this game, big picture, before we get to conference play, is what for Dino Babers?
I think it's huge for the community, right? You know, I think this is one where last year everybody has repressed this 1-10 season. Dino Babers, there's, you know, you look at all of the media outlets and say, you know, Dino's on the hot seat. I don't necessarily think that's the case. But this would bring confidence into the development of the athletes that they've gone out and recruited. It would bring confidence into recruiting. You know, when you're going out there and you're selling yourselves as a school, as an organization, everybody kind of has their ear to the ground listening for what's going to occur at Syracuse. So to me, this brings back people to the dome, right? Are we going to have 50,000? Are we going to have 20,000? Are we going to have 2,000? I think it's going to be in between that, you know, that 50 and 20, and it's going to be loud as heck. To have Liberty come in at this point in time, everybody's extremely high on Liberty, rightfully so. Malik Willis is the real deal, and he can throw that ball around the field just like anybody, and those legs, once he starts rolling, are pretty effective as well. So it's the litmus test to see what this Syracuse team is. You know, it's a team that Liberty comes in. Can they compete? Is this defense what we think it is? Does the offense show up? And then the only way that this game is won for Syracuse is if they cut out all of the ancillary negatives. And for Syracuse right now, it's going to be penalties. Can they stop that? and really get this crowd involved and the community involved back into the program.
The first big home game, Adam, was Rutgers, and it was absolutely a stalemate in the opening 30 minutes, as you know. But to your point about penalties, the Rutgers game threw a series of penalties, not just one, but the Rutgers game really seemed to kind of turn on a series of penalties that did not go in Syracuse's favor in the third period. You got the feel tonight from that side that if they can throw a low penalty number out there, they're going to have a strong chance to win the game?
Oh, yeah, hands down. I mean, that was a textbook Greg Schiano. I played in the old Big East when Syracuse and Rutgers played. That was textbook Greg Schiano being able to work over a Big Ten crew for about 4 minutes on the sideline, and then all of a sudden it's a personal foul, and Dino then gets a personal foul. So that was an interesting thing to watch. But as it unfolded, that was a huge momentum shift during the game. The fans were in it, and at that point, Rutgers punches it in, and the dome kind of deflates a little bit. So penalties for Syracuse have been the Achilles heel over the last 2 years. At some point, when we're in this booth, when we're looking around, we'd love to not see a yellow hanky on the field because they come at the worst times for Syracuse. So, you know, punt return touchdown gets called back. Big play down the sideline gets called back. So these are not negating, you know, 3-4 yard plays. These are negating points that go up on the board. And just hopeful tonight that Syracuse can keep that under wraps, and it will keep them in the game.
All right, Adam, here's the question. And we talked about this, Mark and I did, in the opening segment of the show. One night, somebody's going to drop 7 or 8 in the box to shut Sean Tucker down, try and neutralize the Syracuse run game because it has been so good. Could be tonight. Who knows? Might be next week, Florida State. We'll see. When that happens, who becomes the next most important player on the offensive side for the Orange besides the quarterback?
We would love to see them drop that many in the box because Taj Harris, as a wide receiver, I think he's a special one. You know, he's probable this week. We expect him in the game. Him playing in the slot creates a ton of mismatches. You can't cover him with a safety. You better not walk out an outside linebacker on top of him. He's a guy that I think can turn heads if the quarterback is protected well. And then couple that with he's the old guy in the room, right? Like he's the guy that, you know, Hugh Freeze talked a little bit about during his press conference. He referred to him as number 3 most of the time. But Damian Alford, a 6'5", 220-pound wide receiver, he's a he's a freshman with kind of quote-unquote redshirt year. He dropped in a 73-yard bomb from Tommy DeVito last week. He's somebody that if the development continues week by week, and hopefully that is expedited, he's the other guy to watch on the outside. So Taj Harris in the slot, Damian Alford on the outside. Those are the two guys that we would love to see 9 in the box and have the ability for Tommy DeVito or Garrett Schrader to throw the ball downfield.
All right. Adam, thanks. Great to have you with us. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great day now.
All right. Adam Terry, longtime NFL veteran, great offensive lineman in the early 2000s at Syracuse. Now the analyst with the Orange Radio Network and my friend Matt Park. Liberty in Syracuse tonight, 8 o'clock on ACC Network. Good stuff there, Pac.
Excellent. We look forward to having him back. He makes his debut on the program. I thought he passed the audition. And tonight we'll see if Syracuse passes the audition. A W tonight would be very, very important for Dino Babers in that program to get the 3-1.
Absolutely right. When we come back, there are some heavy favorites looming in the ACC. The Blue Devils. No, not those Blue Devils. Go to the Hard Rock. Jayhawks at the Horseshoe. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about the boys from New Britain when we come back. Pack, get ready.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
All right, boys and girls, we got a full football Saturday for you. Starts at noon, ACC football presented by Subway. The Spiders of Richmond come to Lane Stadium at Worsham Field in Blacksburg. Roddy Jones, LaRisha Harris, and I will be here for that. on ACCNX also at noon. Bill Roth, Eddie Royal, Abby Labar at Heinz Field. Win and the gear stays. Lose and Packer cleans the basement when the Wildcats from New Hampshire visit Pittsburgh. 4 o'clock Eastern. Kansas and Duke. Jacques Vaughn probable. J.J. Redick probable. Oh, wait, it's the football game. And then it's 7:30 ACC Primetime Football presented by GEICO. Number 21, North Carolina in downtown Atlanta against Georgia Tech, all here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. You like that? Jacques Vaughn and J.J. Redick probable?
No, I heard that part. But the other part is I'm dead serious. You lose to New Hampshire, I'm taking your stuff out. You got to earn the right to be in the basement. Can't lose to New Hampshire. Can't do it.
I was going to say that John Hadle and Leo Hart were not quarterbacking their respective clubs tomorrow at Wallace Wade Stadium.
Wallace Wade Outdoors, to get it right. Wallace Wade Outdoors Stadium.
Okay. Can I just add this for you? Remember now, coming up top of the hour, Power Hour with Stan Cotton and Dave Kane, breaking down Wake in Virginia tonight on ESPN2. Last week against Northwestern, Duke had a 300-yard passer in Gunnar Holmberg, a 100-yard rusher in Mateo Durant, and a 100-yard receiver for the first time since 2018 when Daniel Jones and Jonathan Lloyd and Deion Jackson did it.
No, it's 3 years ago, Wes. I mean, come on. I thought you were going to give me, like, since 1954. That was 2018. Mighty Blue Devils.
Here again.
Mighty Blue Devils.
Mighty Blue Devils. Yeah, Mighty Blue Devils.
They look good last
week. Not the ones from New Britain who are at the Hard Rock tomorrow.
No, not those guys. But, you know, all the numbers you gave me from Duke, the most important number last week was 5 turnovers created. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a team that last year was the worst in college football from a turnover perspective, that had to be one of those deals that if you're David Cutcliffe, you are smiling ear to ear. 5 turnovers created. And we talked about Gunnar, how well he's played. So I expect Duke to win against Kansas. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kansas is miserable. Like I said, I've never seen a team lose as many games, be under NCAA violations of probation than a team like Kansas. That's hard to do, to be that bad and still maybe get punished by the NCAA when they wake up and decide to make a decision. But Duke took care of business last week. They looked the part. You did the game.
Yep.
I mean, they jumped them from the get-go, then they held on and won the game. Pat Fitzgerald is a really good football coach at Northwestern, and that was a really good win, Power 5 win. All that counts. So Duke, much like Syracuse, much like Louisville, got some momentum, looking to bounce back off a lousy year. We'll see if that can continue this weekend. I expect
it
too.
You expect wins from Pitt, Virginia Tech, and Miami tomorrow.
I do.
Along with Duke. Yeah. So give me – I've already told you, I think the key element for Justin Fuente and Virginia Tech's the ability to bounce back after – the disappointment of last Saturday. I think the ability to kind of reload and fire it again is critical for them long-term, as well as obviously short-term against Russ Huseman's Spiders tomorrow. But tell me what you're looking for out of Pitt and Miami, not just against Central Connecticut State and New Hampshire, but long-term based on tomorrow.
One word, defense. Tackle the man with the ball. I mean, Pitt last week against Western Michigan couldn't stop a cold. I was dead wrong about that game. And, you know, Kenny Pickett putting up great numbers, not surprising. We talked about that with Pat Narduzzi for the season, that we expected his defense to have to catch up to the offense, which is kind of unusual because you always think of Pat Narduzzi in defense. They didn't tackle anybody last week either. And Western Michigan took it to them, which shocked me. Coming off the win against Tennessee, I just thought Pitt would take that as momentum to say, guess what? It's the next step of us maturing as a football team. Kenny and the boys are going to put up points. Defense, do you do the thing? Get your 5 sacks. Let's go and win the game. They didn't do that. That's why if they lose to New Hampshire, that would be about as ugly a bookend as you can get in this league. To get Western Michigan and New Hampshire, that's why I expect Pitt to obliterate New Hampshire. Same thing with Miami. We've talked about the missed tackles. Manny Diaz has talked about the missed tackles. Defensively, guys, get to the football and get the guy on the ground. I expect him to do that against Central Connecticut State. Now, next Thursday when Virginia comes to town and that high-powered offense, Miami better be ready to go. And hopefully Derek King, you know, we're rooting for him to get back on his feet and be completely healthy and ready to go for Virginia. You're not probably not going to see him this weekend. But they give Miami a chance to get those other rooks, getting some experience at quarterback. But defensively is where they've got to get the job done, Wes. That has not been up to par. Down not only at Miami, but the same thing in Pittsburgh. They've got to be better on that side of the ball.
All right, Pac, I couldn't agree with you more about the Jake Garcia, Tyler Van Dyke scenario tomorrow for Miami. We saw them in the spring game when King was sidelined. Both looked fine, but to get a week's worth of preparation, game planning, the processing going in, because if King comes back next Thursday night, look, they may say he's 100%. I don't know. I find it hard to believe that after about the first month, anybody's 100% the rest of the year. But that all being said, the Garcia-Van Dyke reps that are occurring this week, I think are critical to Miami long-term here if King, you know, gets banged up again. I mean, and who's to say? Guys have a hard time going through a season now without suffering some sort of ailment, bruise, or constant rehab piece during the week.
Well, here's the other thing, too. The expectation level in Miami was sky high before the season started. I mean, there was a lot of people jumping on the bandwagon. They were a preseason top 14 team in the AP poll. Again, there's no shame in losing to Alabama. We know how great they are. But that was not acceptable against Michigan State. Take nothing away from Sparty. They're 3-0. Sparty punished them. I mean, again, Miami did not tackle. And that's got to get better. So, like I said, I expect them to take care of business, win big, win comfortably against Central Connecticut State. Next Thursday, though, we get some real answers. And, again, we'll find out what De'Aaron King's status is next week. And same thing with Pittsburgh. Yep. I expect their defense to come out flying around the football, and I totally expect Kenny Pickett to be throwing it up, scoring a bunch of touchdowns. If Miami and Pitt don't win big tomorrow, that would be worthy of a conversation on Monday.
Well, and here's the situation. Both these schools, and, you know, you could add Duke into the mix as well. After these games now, you're headed down that road of conference play the rest of the route. So, like in Pitt's case, you're going to Atlanta next Saturday. I mean, Syracuse comes off of Liberty. They're going to Florida State. I mean, this is where this thing, you better come out of this feeling pretty good if you've got these non-conference games.
Yeah, we've talked about the front-loaded non-conference schedule. A team like Duke, team like Syracuse, Pittsburgh, you throw those guys in there as well. Hey, it's time to win now. Hey, rearview mirror, let's get ready to conference play. But I expect those teams that we just rattled through to have a really successful weekend. We'll see what Syracuse does tonight. That's a really important game, I think, from the mindset of their program. That's why I asked the question to Adam about the big picture for Dino. And he started talking about even the community, folks getting behind the program again, showing up and having a good time doing it. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, again, there's a lot of interesting storylines heading into the week four of ACC football.
All right, sit tight. We go to the Power Hour on a Football Friday next, and we're going four wide right at the top. Brennan Armstrong and the Wahoos welcome the Demon Deeks to Scott Stadium. 9 o'clock hour next.
Packer and Durham.